I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben White from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back onto this edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad. It's great to have you with us once again. Thank you so much for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast. We know there is tons of content out there, and it just really means a lot to us that you choose to spend your time with us. So thank you. Today, we are catching up with another member of the online or the Coach Parry online training club. Pamelo Moletsane joins Lindsay Parry in the one-on-one coaching call, that fly-on-the-wall coaching call. And we look at some really cool things, a very, very in-depth marathon nutrition strategy, so you don't want to miss that one. We find out how Pamelo got started in running and how his 61-year-old mom inspired him to get going. And then we're also going to look at, and it's something that we talk about so often, and once the penny drops and you get it, it makes a ton of sense, but a lot of people are missing this, and why it's so important to run your slow runs slowly. It is vital. It is one of the biggest cogs in the wheel or in the machine that'll allow you to run as best as you can run. So that's all coming up on today's podcast as well. Don't forget, if you haven't checked out our Comrades Marathon online webinars yet, the next one is coming up pretty soon. Make sure you register for it. All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/webinar. That's where you can get all the details. That's coachparry.com/webinar. Make sure you register for it. And yeah, we look forward to spending some time with you on those. They are amazing. The first couple have gone fantastically well. And the next one, we're going to be talking a lot about cross-training and strength training, and our resident strength and conditioning coach Shona Hendricks is going to be on that call as well. So make sure you do join us. Coming up next, we'll catch up with the coach.
Right, hi Pamelo. Welcome to the Coach Parry Coaches Call. Very excited to have you on for the next half an hour. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Lindsay? It's an honor to actually be chatting to you, and I hope that I will get a lot from this session.
Yep, let's hope so. That is the point. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this is what gets me excited and up in the morning, is talking to runners. So that is really cool. And what I really like about it is to hear and learn where everybody comes from and what motivates them. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How long have you been running? What got you into running? What motivates you to stay in running? And what is the big goal for the year?
Yeah. No, thanks. I started running in 2016. I started with a 10-kilometer, got myself some shoes. Got motivated by my mother. You won't believe it. She's she's actually 61 last year, but she had been running, I think, 5 years prior to me running.
Oh, wow.
And she got me motivated. But I then met up with new networks, you know, that were running, and they got me hooked. So I started with 10 kilometers in 2016. I did my first 21 in 2017 at Capsule Rope.
Brilliant.
Then I did my next 42 at the very same Cups of Work the following year in 2018. Then I was, you know, I kept on doing it, but not professionally. And I must say that it wasn't structured. You know, it was just get your shoes, run, train, go to a race, you know.
Yeah.
So I did, so last year I cranked it up a bit. I did... Soweto, which was terrible.
The 42?
The 42, yes. I finished it in 5.5 hours, though.
Yeah.
4 weeks, 3 weeks later or so, I did the new race around where I stay. It's called the Mahuba Plunge. It's from Johannesburg to Tzaneen. It was a maiden race. I did the 42 there as well and did it in 5:07, you know.
Okay.
Funny enough, my best 42 was actually at Cups of Europe in 2018, which I did in 4:31. But I don't know whether it's because I started trying to get some structure into it that I felt like I was regressing, because the times are getting worse instead of instead of improving. My second best time was in 2019 January at Wonder Park in Pretoria. At 4:48. So far, I want to do two options, and I also want to do Comrades.
Comrades.
I started training for Comrades in 2018, but last year I suffered an injury after the Wonder Park, which took me out for about 10 weeks. I had a stress fracture in my right knee. And it, you know, if I didn't go out of my way to try and find out what it actually was, it probably would have just persisted, because nobody picked it up. You know, I only picked it up when I did the MRI. You know? Yeah, so I've had some structure now in my training. I'm following your finishers program. I've started following it religiously now in January. I might be adding a few things there and there. You'll pick up from the analysis probably. So my next race will be on the 15th of February in Polokwane, which is a Capricorn District Mayor's race.
Cool. And that's a marathon?
That's a marathon, yeah.
Okay. And that will be your qualifier. All right. So
the qualifier, yes.
Cool. So look, it's clear that you have got a little bit of ability as a runner. So you've actually, until you got your stress fracture, your running career was progressing quite sensibly, starting with a 10K 1 year, half marathon the next year, marathon the next year. So part of the reason why I think you actually did quite well in that particular race was because you had spaced, you know, all these efforts out quite well. And then when you moved on to a structured program, that was perhaps just a little bit too much of a jump. The good news, of course, is that there's absolutely nothing stopping you from getting back close to that 4:32. You might not necessarily be quite there come the 15th of February. You may well be. We can talk about that now for the next couple of minutes. But the potential and your 10 and 21 and your marathon times, they all stack up that you are capable of running that 4:30 again, and importantly that you're definitely capable of finishing both Two Oceans and Comrades. So we just need to qualify you for that. So that, you know, all the listeners out there, you're a fairly close to an hour 10K. You're a 2:10 on the half, and you are a 4:32 on the marathon. So everything's pointing in the right direction. Have you run in the last 8 weeks or so a 10 or a 5K park run, or have you run a half marathon? Even if you didn't race it flat out, have you run that sort of distance quite hard? Or have you just been building up slowly from that stress fracture and just doing the training on the program?
I got a bit comfortable with the pace. So what the structure will help me is to just increase my pace. You know, there's a reason I'm saying this, because on the 8th of December, I did Remember Mandela race in Pretoria.
Yes. Yes.
I finished that in 2:19. So
my
pace was around 6:15, 6:19, which was very comfortable. It wasn't. I tried to increase it towards the end. The last 3 kilometers, I think I was running just about around 6 or just below 6.
Cool.
So I wasn't pushing hard. It was just, you know, that easy pace in a bus, and I think I got off the bus the last 3 kilometers and just went.
Cool. Okay, so that's great news, because that tells me that you will you will almost definitely qualify on the 15th of February. And you will probably qualify with under 440. So that would be, that's the target you should set yourself, is to go under 440. I wouldn't go for your PB just yet. It's not quite the right time of year. And for me, the important thing here is qualifying and then carrying on to prepare and build up. I do think that you have got sub-11 comrades potential, but I think that's something we should revisit in about March. So in March, you know, depending on how the qualifier goes, how the training goes for the couple of weeks after the qualifier, we can have a discussion in the forum, and perhaps you will find yourself then switching over to the sub-11 program. But I'm feeling quite confident on your behalf. So let's move into the most important part of this half an hour, and that is for you to ask whatever running questions that have been burning on your mind when you've been running, that you've been discussing with your running mates. But now's your opportunity to take advantage.
Yeah, I think the one that is stressing me a bit, Lindsay, is I run out of energy when I'm doing a marathon. I really run out of gas at 36.
Okay.
You know, I've been the last two marathons that I did in November, I struggled from 36, you know, to finish. So I just need some tips. I've started with the nutrition. You know, I have your normal carbs. I have your normal rice during the week, your potatoes, your pap, you know, once a week. And I do your normal food, your pumpkins, your red meat and your fish and stuff like that.
Cool.
I've started using the gels now during my our long weekend, long runs. So I've started trying to take them every hour or so to see how that goes. So I can't make out what really is why am I running out of energy like that, you know.
So tell me, how much do you weigh, Pamela?
87.
87 kilograms. When you wake up in the morning before a race, what do you have for breakfast?
I have a shake. So I'll have there's this F21 Herbalife shake.
Okay, that is fun. So that's, you are taking in something before the race, which is really cool. Up until now, what is your typical nutrition being in a race? So how often are you drinking Coke and Powerade along the route?
I think I typically don't take any for the first 21.
Okay. We've identified our first problem, but then after 21, what do you take?
Then I will start taking your Coke, and then I used to use the Biroca gel, you know. Just that, and I would just be erratic in taking them. So, but I would increase them probably from 24 or so. I'll take them more often.
Okay. All right. So, I'm going to give you, and there is a little bit of time for you to work on this a little bit. Leading into the race, and you don't have to, when you're doing your training runs, you don't have to take as much. You just need to take some, because what we're doing in the training runs is just making sure that your stomach is fine with everything that we're going to use. So we're happy with your breakfast. The shake is cool. You can wake up, you can slowly sip that shake as you go, and breakfast we're happy with. Okay. But you are 87 kilograms. So in an ideal world, you need 80 to 90 kilograms, 90 to 80 grams of carbohydrate per kilogram. So you need roughly, in an ideal world, we don't get that much in, but I'm just telling you that so that you understand. So you need 80 to 90 grams per you need 1 gram per kg, so 80 to 90 grams of carbohydrates. In a gel, the gel has roughly 26 grams.
Okay.
Of carbohydrates. Coke has got 11 grams per 100 mils.
Okay.
And Energade or Powerade has about 7 to 8 grams per 100 milliliters. Okay. So also, I mean, it's nice to mix it up a little bit so you don't only drink Coke, but actually Coke is quite good because it gives you quite a lot of sugar per 100 grams. You are starting the race with stored carbohydrates. We all do. We've got stored carbohydrates in our muscles. You are probably starting with in the region of 180 grams approximately. I mean, it's not an exact science, but you've probably got about 180 grams that you're starting with. Plus, you are having a fairly high carbohydrate meal before you run. I'm gonna assign 60 grams. It's probably not super accurate, but it's accurate enough for what we want to do. So essentially, you've got 240 grams of carbohydrates that you've got available to you for the race. And if you are going to be running for 5 hours, you need roughly 400 grams. Okay. So that means, over the course of the marathon, we are trying to get close to, and we don't have to get all the way there, and sometimes it if we try, it might actually just be overkill and too much. So we're looking for 160 grams, which over the 5 hours means that we need about 30 to 40 grams.
Yeah.
Per hour.
Yeah.
So if you take every 15 to 30 minutes some small sips of Coke, and then every 45 to 60 minutes a gel with some water, then you will have enough energy to take you all the way to the finish line. At the moment, what you are probably getting is about half of what you need. You're probably getting 30 to 40 grams per hour for the last 15 Ks, but it's just not enough. So I think obviously training will help, the structured training will help, the training at the right training paces will help. But for you in the marathon in particular, if you sort out that your nutrition, you are going to be in a good way.
Can I just ask something there, Lindsay?
Yes.
What about the solids? Because you know, like potatoes and bananas. The reason is maybe it's just because of the novice in me. I find it very difficult to handle them, because they form some stuff, like a solid in your stomach, and it gets heavy for you to run with them.
I do use solids, and I do recommend people use solids. However, not actually for the energy. Yes, if you struggle to take gels and you struggle to drink Coke, then you do need to use the potatoes for energy. But what I find with potatoes, with bananas, with potato chips, what I find with those is that we're not trying to eat a potato. Like you know, when you think about a potato, you think about a baked potato. No, think about a baby potato that's cut in half. Mm-hmm. And you're only going to have one every now and then. And same with a banana, you're going to have a bite. We're not talking about having like a banana. And I think that's how we use solids. So we use a small amount because then it's not sitting in our stomachs. Exactly. I mean, if you have half a baked potato, I mean, you're right. It's going to sit there. Every time you burp, you're just going to taste potato. So it's a question of having small bites. And what those small bites do, not necessarily in a marathon, but as soon as you go longer than a marathon, if you're on the road for 6 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours, is that if you only have gels and you only have Coke, then after a while your body just goes, I cannot have any more sugar. But if you every now and then just have a bit of a small potato with some salt on it, or some potato, small, like one or two little potato chips with, you know, like a salt and vinegar or a salted, just those small little bits of solid actually make it easier for you then to then carry on having all the sweet stuff. So it's more about just giving your mouth and your taste buds a rest from all the sugar. And then it does provide a little bit of energy. And as I said, if some people just cannot eat gels, then they need to do things like raisins and cashew nuts and dates and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
No, there's no problem. So I hear that. Now, the other question that I have, and it's always a debate in our long runs. With the group, you know, the definition of a long run, because I find, and I, you know, I'll give you an example. Last week we ran, you know, about 26 kilometers, and then we were doing about 6:15, 6:30, and there was a point when we were doing 6, and I said to the guys that this is not a slow run, you know, you know, I'm finding it very difficult. This is like, you know, a race, you know, a marathon, and my heart rate is going up, you know, and, you know, they've got different views that, you know, that even on an LSD, you can do the pace that you know you can do, and, you know, in preparation for a race. But I also read, you know, watched your video about, you know, then running aerobically and being running slow to run fast, you know, and some of them don't agree with that, but I do, you know, to be honest with you, because you can feel when you are building, you know, you can feel when you are comfortable, and you can feel when you are comfortable, you can sort of control, you have a lever to control your pace, if you are, rather than trying to go at it and running out of steam. So in your advice, what would be for me, you know, you've got my record there. What would be my ideal pace for my comfortable pace for a slow run, so that I don't get into these debates, I maintain mine and just finish that slow run.
So where you are right now in your running ability, as it is exactly now, your easy runs should be run around 6:30 to 7, and your long runs should be run about 6:40 to 7:10, around there. And it's actually such an important question, because it is probably the biggest mistake that the average runner makes. And the reason why it's so easy to make that mistake is that if you run too fast in training and you don't get injured, then your running is going to improve. However, you are setting your ceiling lower. So you're going to improve until you get to a point. And also your race day performance will be compromised. You might improve, and so you think what you've done was the right thing. But you're going to start the race tight, so you're not going to be able to perform to the best of your actual ability. The only way to really get that ceiling to lift, and for you, for example, to get back to running 4:30s, because you should be running 4:30 or faster for a marathon, is by layering that, getting your aerobic, and then slowly over time, your very easy run will get faster. But it shouldn't be an effort to, you know, you're always consciously running faster. It should be a case of, at this very floaty effort, I'm just slowly getting faster and faster at this effort. And then by that way, you raise the ceiling, you're fresh on race day, so you can actually execute on your ability on race day.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that's good. Then The other one related to that for me as well is I find it, you know, at this point hard to get into the, how do I say, to the rhythm. So I'll do very bad in 10 kilometers, 10 kilometer races, because I start getting into the rhythm there around 5-6 kilometers. You know, I would just go, you know, slow, probably do about 7, and then pick it up gradually. Then I see that from around 12 to 15, then I'm okay. Then I can do that 6:15, 6:30 consistently, you know. But I wanna do a I wanna do a sub 2. We've got a 22 kilometer run, so I just wanna get advice if it's advisable to try and push that hard.
So so the answer is yes, but not every weekend, obviously, as we discussed just now. But if there's a race that you've been, and in this process of building up to the marathon, or perhaps it's after the marathon and building up to Comrades, it is fine to push yourself on 8Ks, 5Ks, 15Ks, 21Ks. I wouldn't push myself past 21Ks in you know, once the qualifier's out of the way. But yes, you can push yourself. But the shorter the distance, the more important the warm-up becomes. Okay. Because in a 10K and a 5K, you want to start flat out, because you don't have, you know, in a 10K, if it takes you 6Ks to warm up, then, you know, then the race is already over. So you actually want to line up, having warmed up, having done at least 20 minutes, but in your case, you need more. So you want to warm up for about half an hour or longer, so that when you start, you warmed up and ready to race. And in a 21, you also want to warm up for 21. When it starts to get to the marathon and longer, you can afford to use the first 3, 4, 5 Ks just to get into the thing, because yes, you lose a little bit of time, but you don't lose the same amount like in a 5K. I mean, if you lose 1 minute in the first kilometer in a 5K, you're never going to get that back. You just can't run fast enough for the rest. So yes, that your trick is you must warm up before you do the short races, and there are opportunities for you to push yourself every 3 to 4 weeks. You can push yourself hard at a time trial and up to a half marathon, but you don't want to do a half marathon every month. So you maybe want to do 1 or 2 half marathons in the build up to Comrades.
Okay.
All right. And warming up can be anything from, as I stay, for example, about 2 kilometers from where we'll be starting to run. So I can run that 2 kilometers slow.
You know, exactly.
And that would be enough to have warmed up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That is
right.
Those are the questions for me then, Lindsay.
Excellent. That's perfect timing, because our half an hour is just about up. We're at 11 o'clock. So, yeah, Pumela, thanks very much for joining us. I've really enjoyed this call. I'm looking forward to hearing about you qualifying on the 15th of February and seeing you in the forums, chatting to the other runners, asking questions, so we can make this journey to Two Oceans and Comrades together.
All right. No, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for this call. Thanks for the advice.
Super. Enjoy your day. Pleasure, Pamela. Go well.
Cheers.
Man, I love these calls. They are amazing. I hope you enjoyed that one too. Thank you to everyone who has left us a review and a rating on whichever platform that you listen to these podcasts on. I mentioned last week that we are giving away 3 months' access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club. It's worth $1,000, and all you need to do is leave us a review, and we'll put all the names in a hat and draw one out in just a couple of weeks' time. So if you haven't yet, please do leave us a review. It really helps us massively to sort of get in front of more people. The more reviews and positive reviews views we get, the better it is, and it just helps our rankings, so to speak, in the podcast charts. Before I go, another success story out of the Coach Parry Online Training Club forum, and this one is from Tien Pretorius. Tien saying, "Hi team, I'm absolutely stoked at the time of writing this post. This past week, I've improved my personal best times on a 10K and a 21K respectively. My 10K is down by 2 minutes to 52, and his half marathon time is down to 1:56. His previous best was 2:04. So the first time under 2 hours, Tiens. That is incredible." He says, "Two changes I believe contributed to these improvements, both on advice from Team Coach Parry. Run easy in the right intensities and zones. Previously, my easy runs were all done below 6 minutes a K, whereas I do them at approximately 6:30 per K now. This allows my legs time for recovery. I eat more regularly during my long runs as well. Previously, only started to eat 2 hours into a long run, whereas now I start 45 minutes into a run. Thanks, Team Coach Parry, for helping me in this regard. Small changes that have made a massive difference for me. Running regards, Tiens." Tiens, we love hearing stories like that. I've got goosebumps just reading it. Yeah, keep on keeping on, man. You're doing the work. You're showing up, turning those blocks green on the app. As they say, the proof is in the pudding. So, well done. A 1:56 half marathon. Nothing to scoff at. 8 minutes off. That is fantastic. Well done, mate. Congratulations. And if you want to read more of those success stories in the forum, all you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/join and become part of the Coach Parry Online Training Club. There's over 1,500 athletes in that training club at the moment, and we'd love to have you there as well. Follow the process. Turn the blocks green, and you can run as best as well as we know you can. Until next week, from myself, Brad Brown, the coach, Lindsay Parry, and the rest of the team here at coachparry.com, have yourself a great training week, and we look forward to chatting then. Cheers.